Okay, Guten Chodesh. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Lamed Zayin. We're holding on daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis at the two dots right before the Mishnah. Today's shiur is sponsored by Avishai and Elisha Venuman, Lizchus Rufur Shalema, for Chaim Naftali Ben Frimit Freida, and for Sarah Freida Baschaya. They should both have Rufur Shalema, Besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. So we are discussing Ve'ina Kol Ksherin, Ladin Dine Nefashos. Right before the Mishnah, we're going to discuss what it means that not everybody can be Dan Dine Nefashos, and from where we learn that you need to have a certain level of Yichus in order to be Dan Dine Nefashos. Then the Mishnah is going to discuss at the bottom exactly how the Sanhedrin arranged their seating and what the process was if they had to replace one of the members of the Sanhedrin. The Gemara is then going to figure out what Pasuk teaches us that idea that the Sanhedrin sat in a semicircle, how they arranged their seating, and once we're at it, we're going to darshan pretty much every word in that Pasuk that teaches us about the Sanhedrin, and that's going to lead us into a discussion whereby we bring three different sources to indicate that all Jews, no matter how empty of mitzvos, no matter how bereft of mitzvos, still have lots more mitzvos than you would think, are still full of many mitzvahs. We're going to have three different sources for that idea. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph is going to record the speech that we would give to Edei Nefashos in order to intimidate them, but still also encourage them to testify, not to withhold their testimony. The Gemara is going to have a machlokes, or the Gemara rather before this is going to give an example of circumstantial evidence that would not be accepted, and teach us that don't worry, even though circumstantial evidence is not accepted down here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of things. Someone gets what he ultimately deserves. The Gemara is going to have machlokes whether circumstantial evidence is good enough for dine mamonis. Dine nefashos, there's no doubt it's not good enough. Not only that, hearsay is for sure no good, not by dine nefashos nor by dine mamonis. But for some reason, circumstantial evidence is a machlokes whether it's enough when it comes to dine mamonis. And then the Gemara is going to get into exactly what Kayin did to Hevel, how he killed Hevel, and at the very end of the daf, which we probably won't get to today, we're going to talk about the effects of galus on a person achieving kapara, that a person can achieve a kapara by suffering through galus. So let's begin. Ve'ena kol ksherin ladun dine nefashos. Not everybody is kosher for dine nefashos. My time. So what's the reason for it? The Tanya of Yosef, k'shem shebezin menukim tzedek, kach menukin mikol mum. That just like a bezdin has to be totally righteous, they also can't have any pagam mishpacha. They can't have any yichus problems. Amar ha-memar mikra, where do we learn this from? Kol ha-yafa ra'ayasi, umum ein bach. So we learn from umum ein bach. So says Gemara, yeah, but vidilma mum mamish. Maybe that means a real mum. How do you know that maybe it means a physical blemish. How do you know that means a yichus issue? Amar vach v'yakov, amar kra, v'isyatzvu sham imach. Imach b'domen lach. That Moshe Rabbeinu is told that the other dayanim should be imach, should be with you, which means like you. They should be people of excellent yichus. Vidilma haso mishum shchina. But still, how do you know that that's true of Dayanim in all generations? Maybe that was the Sanhedrin of Moshe Rabbeinu that had to deal, that had the presence of the Shekhinah there, and does not apply to all other Sanhedraos. It's a separate pasuk. If imach is dafka din by Moshe Rabbeinu, an additional pasuk that they have to be like Moshe Rabbeinu must refer to yichus for all future generations. It is somewhat curious that the Rambam in the second parak of Hilchas Sanhedrin writes, "Ve'ein ma'amidin b'Sanhedrin ela kohanim leviim v'Yisraelim miyuchasim maru'in la'asi lekuna." He quotes this din that you have to have miyuchasim she'ne'mar v'isyatzvu sham imach bedomlach b'chachma b'yira u'b'yichus. That v'isyatzvu sham imach, which was the pasuk that the Gemara quoted and then rejected and said that no, maybe that was because of the Shekhinah. So the Kesef Mishnah raises that question on the Rambam, and he says it could be that the Rambam understands that the Gemara's question of Adil Mahasim Mishum Shechina is Dafka going according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, because on Daf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Yehuda held that we can't learn from this pasuk that you need 71 Dayanim in the Sanhedrin Gedola, because when it says Imach, it means Mishum Shechina. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda said there are only 70 Dayanim. But according to the Chachamim that do learn from this pasuk that you need 71 Dayanim and do not make a distinction, oh, Mishum Shechina, maybe over there it was different. So maybe they hold that there is no such kasha of Mishum Shechina that would distinguish the Sanhedrin of the times of Moshe Rabbeinu from Sanhedraos in future generations. Okay, new Mishnah. Sanhedrin Isa Kechati Gorin Agula. The Sanhedrin would sit like a semicircle, Kadeshu Roin Ze'ezeh, so that each of them can see each other. And that way, when they were discussing the matter, they would be able to see each other's faces. Shnei Sofrei Adayanim Omdim Lefnehem. The two scribes would stand in front of them, echad miyamin ve'echad mismal, one on the right side, one on the left, ve'kosvin divrei, and they would write, and what's the gears to change over here, they would write the divrei hamazakin ve'divrei hamachayvin, they would write, just flip it around, they would write the divrei hamazakin and the divrei hamachayvin, both the arguments on either side. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shlosha. He said, no, there weren't two Sofrei Adayanim. Rabbi Yehuda says there were three Sofrei Adayanim. Echa Kosev Divrei Mezakin, Vechel Kosev Divrei Mechayvin, Vashlishi Kosev Divrei Mezakin, Vidivrei Mechayvin. One would write down one side of the case, the other would write down the other side, and the third would try to write down everything. Ushaloshur Shal Tamid Chacham Yoshan Lefnehem, and there were three rows of Tamid Chachamim that would sit in front of them, Kol Echod Ve'echod Makir Es Mekomo. And each of them had his spot based on his madrega, based on his level. Now these three rows of 23 dayanim in front of the Sanhedrin, Rashi says that the reason they had this was that in case one of the members of the Sanhedrin, in case there was a majority vote by a one person majority, they would have to add shnei dayanim. Where are they going to add shnei dayanim from? It has to be that there are people available to add. So that's these rows of talmidim that they would take from these rows of talmidim to add. So that's what Rishon point out, that this must only be a din by the Sanhedrin Katana. But by the Beis Nagadol Shel Shivim Ve'echad, you wouldn't need these three rows of Talmidim because you never had to add to the Sanhedrin Agadol Shel Shivim Ve'echad. That's what the Rambam paskins in the first parak of Hilchos Sanhedrin. Also, the idea that they were Kechatzi Gor Nagula, so that it only says that in the Mishnah with regard to the Sanhedrin itself. What about the Talmidim? So Rashi says that they also sat Kagula, but the difference was that the Chevrei Sanhedrin sat on benches and the Talmidim would sit on the floor. Not all the Rishonim agree. It doesn't say in the Mishnah that the Talmidim sat Kechatzi Gor Nagula. Maybe the Talmidim didn't have to see each other as long as they saw the members of the Sanhedrin themselves. Kol Echad Ve'Echad Makir Es Mekomo, like we said, everyone knew exactly where their place was. Hutzruchu L'Smoch, if they had to give someone smicha, Somchin Min HaRishona, they would take someone from the first row, meaning they would take the top guy in the first row to add him on to the Sanhedrin, and then Echad Min HaShniya Bolo L'Rishona, one guy from the second row would go into the first row, Echad Min HaShlish is Bolo L'Shniya, everyone would move up one spot. Now it doesn't say explicitly in the Mishnah that within each row there was in order. It just sounds like the first row were the top guys, and the second row were the next level, and third row were the next level, but it's very mistaver that way, and that's some of the Rishonim say it must have been that way, otherwise the system doesn't really seem to work that well. So it has to be that there was that each one, kol echad, makir es mekomo, in the sense of not just which row, but where his spot was in that row. And then they would have to draft in someone who was not even on the seats of the Talmidim, and Moshivin also Bishlishis, and they would put him on the third row. When they bring someone in off the street, he's not going to be immediately promoted to the first row. He's going to sit all the way in the back, and then slowly he's going to work his way up to the front. Now, what exactly is going to happen that we would have to draft someone into the Sanhedrin? What does it mean that Hutzruchu L'Smoch? So Rashi says, Kigon Shemes Echad Min Adayanim Somchlo Merishonim Shem Gedolim Nikulam. So if a Dayan dies, then you need to replace the Dayan. The Rambam in the first part of the Sanhedrin writes that sometimes they need to be Somich because Nechlku B'daitam. There's a Machlokas on the Sanhedrin and they can't be Machria. It's a hung jury or whatever. They can't come to a conclusion, and that's why they need extra Dayanim. So the Achronim just raise the question, if that were the case, then there wouldn't be Echad. They wouldn't add one. Then they would add two. The Mishnah is describing adding one. So Rashi is the Chora much more the Pashtus, that they're adding one Dayan. So Shvus Yaakov suggests, Shvus Yaakov writes in a Tshuva, in Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Lamed Gimel, that the reason the Sanhedrin would add two Talmidim was because otherwise the whole idea of remaining, of being somewhat secretive about who voted which way and how it all turned out, out how it all shook out, would be lost. Because if you see that they added, they had no idea which way to go. They added one die, and all of a sudden it's all solved, and this guy is guilty. So they know what that guy voted. So that's why they would add two, so that it wouldn't be so obvious exactly what had happened. One of them might have said any odeya, and the other one might have voted and made it a two-person majority. It could have that leaves some room for ambiguity when you add two. So says the Shmos Yaakov, so that's only necessary when it's a case between two people. What if the Sanhedrin is actually dealing with a shayla halacha, but not a dispute between two people? So if that's the case, then you only need to add one. So you can have such a case where you're only adding one and you're not adding two. That's an interesting idea, that they would be dealing with such things that do not involve balei din, that do not involve some sort of discussion of balei din. It was a question of tumentara, visiv heter, or something like that, that they just needed to work out. Okay, says Gemara, minani mili. How do we know that they sat in a semicircle? So Amar Rav Acha bar Chanina d'Amakra, Sorich Agan HaSahar al Yechzar HaMazeg. Sorich Zu Sanhedrin. That's a reference to the Sanhedrin. Lom Nikra Shma Sorich She Yosheves B'Tiburo Shalolam. And they sit at the center of the world in the Lishcha Sagazis. Agan Shehimagina al Kala Olam Kulo. Agan is a reference to the fact that they protect the entire world. The Sanhedrin protects the entire world. And Hasahar is a reference to Shidoma Lisahar, that it's like the moon. What does it mean? It's like the moon, which, by the way, that's a great Tafyomi coincidence that we're talking about the moon today, but it's like the 1 day off, okay, 7 years off, I guess, in the other direction, that it's like the moon in the sense that it's a semicircle, a crescent moon, they sit in that shape. Al yechzar hamazeg shem hutzrach echon hem latzeis roin im yesh esu mishlosha kenegas anadri katani yotzei vim laveinu yotzei. If someone has to leave, well then they have to see how many people that are left behind. If they have 23 dayanim still there, then you can leave. But if they don't have at least 23 dayanim, it's al yechzar hamazeg. It should be no worse than a meziga of yayin. Just like when you're mozeg a koshal yayin, it's 1/3 yayin, 2/3 mayim. So too, al yechzar hamazeg, you have to make sure at least 1/3 of the Sanhedrin is there. You can't be missing more than the amount of water that you would have in a Meziga of Yayin. So that's a discussion. Is that really true that that's how Mezigas Yayin works? Mezigas Yayin, is it 1/3 and 2/3, or is it 1/4 and 3/4? But that's the Pashtus. If you just had this Gemara, you would say 1/3, 2/3, and that's the and that's what Al Yechzar HaMazeg refers to. Okay, Bitnich, so we just go on to explain the rest of the Pasuk. So Bitnech Aremas Chitim Suga Bashoshanim. So what's this about? Bitnech Aremas Chitim Ma Aremas Chitim Akol Nenim Mena Af Sanhedrin Akol Nenim Mita Mehen. Just like an Aremas Chitim, a pile of wheat, everyone is Nena from, so too Sanhedrin, everyone is Nena from their explanations of the Dinim. Suga Bashoshanim Shafilu Kisuga Shal Shoshanim Leyufrutsu Behen Paratzos. That even if all you have is a fence made out of a hedge of roses, it's not this iron fence, it's not this concrete fence, it's just a hedge of roses, it's enough that people will not make pierces in the fence, that people will not try to break through. So the Gemara tells us, V'hainu damalei umina l'Rav Kana, amriso nida shari l'yichudu b'hadi gavra. A certain min said to Rav Kana, you guys allow a nida to have yichud with her husband? Efshar eish bina oras veina ma'afheves? It's an unrealistic expectation that there's going to be the fire of Yetzer Hara, and you don't expect when there's fire and there's flammable material that there's going to be some sort of combustion. Armle haTorah hi'ida aleinu suga b'shoshanim. The Torah says about the Jewish people a hedge of roses. Shafilu kesuga b'shoshanim leyifrutz ben pratzos. That all we need is a hedge of roses. Even if all you have is a suga b'shoshanim, that's enough that we're not going to make any pirzos in that suga b'shoshanim. That's the edus about Klal Yisrael. That even if we just have a little something, we're allowed to be have yichud because we're not concerned. There are a lot of different explanations in Rishonim why Dafka a hedge of roses. The Rashi points out what the Gemara is trying to say is that even when it's just an Ashara Kala, like a Geder that's made like Shoshanim and not from Avanim, the Torah we're going to be careful enough and the Torah will be matir. Tosos says, which probably is the more familiar pshat, that the Gemara is telling us that we're so careful in Yisr Nida that even when a woman says, Dam kishoshana aduma reisi, that I saw blood, the color of a rose, I saw something come out, the color of a rose, porish hamena miyad. That's all the husband needs to hear. He's immediately going to be porish. Yad Ramah just points out that just like a person wants to be oker a geder, because he wants to smell if the geder is made out of shoshana and there's a taiva, to take all the roses, because he wants to smell the roses, he wants to be able to enjoy the roses, but he knows if he does that, then the geder is going to be gone. So too, when a person has a certain taiva, but he wants to maintain the kedusha of his marriage, so he's not going to give in to that taiva in order to make sure that geder is still going to be there. So the Gemara tells us, Reish Lakish Avraham Mehacha, it's not necessarily from the pasuk of Kesugah B'Shoshanim. The idea that the Jewish people are going to be careful can be derived from other places.
How will the pasuk convince them in?
Very often, I don't know, I guess the minim believed in the Tanakh, they just didn't believe in the Torah Shebal Peh, right, often. So maybe the minim knew Tanakh very well. So maybe he was saying that would be enough, that the pasuk is enough. I don't know. Reish Lakish Amar Mehacha, I'm not sure. Reish Lakish Amar Mehacha, Kepelech HaRimon Rakaseich, Afilu Reikar Lashabach Mleya Mitzvos Karimon. That Kepelech HaRimon Rakaseich teaches us that even the emptiest amongst the Jewish people are Mleya Mitzvos Karimon. That's appropriate for Rosh Chodesh Elul, the Minikit Rimonim, on Rosh Hashanah, because of this. It's based on this idea that we're Mleya Mitzvos Karimon. No truth to the idea that there are 613 seeds in every Rimon, but we do have the idea clearly in Chazal that a Rimon represents Mleya Mitzvos. So that's what we're saying, that it's Mleya Mitzvos. Even the Reikanim are Malay mitzvos kerimon. So the Gemara is darshening. So that's why a man is allowed to have yichud with ishto nida. So the Rishonim are bothered by this as well. What does a rimon have to do with ishto nida? So Tosa Rosh says because dam nida is red like the like pomegranate juice. The Maharam says that the seeds of rimonim are agulim va'adumim and leave stains that are like dam nida would leave stains. So it's an issue of ksamim. The Netziv in Merom Esada says that when the Gemara says that the Malay mitzvahs kurimon, it can't possibly mean mitzvah saseh, because we're saying reikanim shabach. They don't have mitzvah saseh. It must be referring to the fact that they're parish me'averos. What would be an avera that's constantly available to a person, that he has the ability to be parish, that he's Malay mitzvahs of asar and alo saseh? That must be dam nida. Rabbi Zera amr mehacha, v'yareich esreich begadav, al tikri begadav, ela bogdav. That even bogdav, even those who rebel, even those who are not the greatest Jews still are going to have a pleasant aroma of mitzvos. Hanu bar Yoni dav b'shuvus is Rabbi Zera. Just to demonstrate this idea of the potential of a Jew who has sinned, of a Jew who does not seem to be the greatest Jew. There was which is certainly appropriate for Rosh Chodesh Elul. There were these thugs that lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Zera. Dav makariv luhu ki heich dinahadu luhu b'tiyufta. And Rabbi Zera's approach with them was to become close with them in order to be mashpia on them, to cause them to want to do tshuva. V'avkapti Rabbanan, the Rabbanan didn't like Rabbi Zera's approach. They thought that he should be much more tough on them, and that it's a tacit approval of their behavior by allowing them to have this connection with him. Kinach nafshid Rabbi Zera, amri adi idnava charicha katan shake davaboyalan rachme. When Rabbi Zera died, they said, up until this point, we had Rabbi Zera who would daven for us, and we knew that we were protected because we were friends with Rabbi Zera. Hashem man bayalan rachme. But now, who's going to daven for us? Hiru b'libayuva avdu tshuva. That was enough. Just a hear her alone. That thought alone was enough to motivate them to want to do tshuva. Katan Shake is a reference to Rabbi Zera because he was there was a maisa where he the Gemara quotes over here in the Socher HaSapolim where his legs got burnt, so he became disabled. But that's the way they referred to him. It seems somewhat crass, but that's the kind of people these were. So that's how they would refer to Rabbi Zera. But you see that ultimately his mahalich paid off, but only after he had died. The Tosos over here, it's an important Tosos, Hatori Idol in a Suga Bashoshanim, that we're allowed to have Yichud with Ishto Nida, Linin Dam Nidus Nidrush Kshomer Dam Kshana Dumaris Miad Parish, Vim Tomer says Tosos, Vayichudo Raisihi. We're quoting a Pasuk in Shirashirim to tell me that you're allowed to have Yichud with Ishto Nida. The Isra of Nida with Arayos is Nisudo Raisa, Kedarashin Michis Sischa Chicha Beni Mecha, that's a drush at the end of Mesechus Kiddushin, Kiyasis. This past week's parasha, that when your Beni Mecha is Mesis you, so we darshan, yeah, ben a Mesis, ben av, no Mesis, ele ben mutzulis yachin imimo, none of the other arayas are allowed to be miyachin with each other. So vehech yasi krad divrei Kabbalah, lemishri, my diksiv baraisa. That does clearly understand that is a real drasha gemura, and that's why yichud arayos is a real din to oraisa, and the Gemara says it explicitly in other places, that yichud arayos is a real din d'oraisa. So if you have a real issa d'oraisa, how can you have a pasuk mitivrei Kabbalah to be matir in issa d'oraisa? So says Tosos Yishlomo d'Lasra Torah ela ke'ein imo d'lo avida d'mishtaria aval nida sofali toher. The issa d'oraisa of yichud is only with someone who will never be muteris to you, but ishto nida will one day become tar. Umiyu heich d'lo ba'al afilu nida asur l'siachik d'amin parakam d'ksubis lo ba'al hu yashmen nashem yishto yishen men nashem. But it's not only that she will one day be mutaris to you, what you also require is that you have been boel her already in the past. Only then do you have real paspisala. Paspisala works in both directions, both in the knowledge that she will be mutaris, and in the fact that you've already been together before, then we're matir. But if, let's say, you have a case of a chupas nida or something like that, or the couple gets married and they've never been together, they never had the opportunity to even try to be together, so then they would have an issu yichud, and that's why huyashim bein anashim vihi yeshena bein anashim. That's why the halacha works out that way. What you have is an interesting shaila that comes up that poskim discuss, is what happens if they have been together but they will not be together again. For example, the couple's getting divorced, but for legal reasons or whatever, he can't move out of the house, or whatever. It gets complicated when these situations arise. So are they allowed to have yichud together? They're still married, but they know that they're not going to be together. They're getting divorced. He's giving the get tomorrow or whatever. So are they allowed to? Have yichud? So what most of the poskim say is that who knows? Maybe they'll still reconcile until the get is given. You never know if they'll still be able to reconcile. Then Tosa says, "Vim Tomar Armin Parakam the Shabbos Makish Ishto Nido Le Ishes Re'ehu Ma Ishes Re'ehu Hu BeBigdo VeYi BeBigdo Aser." That Ishes Re'ehu, you're not allowed to be even in the same bed, even if everybody's clothed. The Pirusha Mekuntros Mishum Yichud De Ishes Ish Afishto Nida V'Hach Amar Suga B'Shoshanim. Wait a second. We compare Ishes Re'ehu to Ishto Nida. Yet Ishes Re'ehu, we say that you're not allowed to be alone together. That if you're in the same bed, even if everybody's dressed, it's not okay. So shouldn't the same be true about Ishto Nida, that you're not allowed to be alone together? Says Tosas Yeshomer Dehubi Bigdo Vibi Bigdo Asura Beishish Afilu Belo Yichud Mishum Akruvi Daita Shnen Mescham Zamizah. It's not really about Yichud over there. Being in the same bed together, even if you're dressed, is not an issue of Yichud. That's an issue of being in a very compromising position with Eishes Re'ehu. That has a Yetzer Hara all on its own. So that's not a matter of Yichud. And therefore, we can't ask kashas from there. Says Gemara Vayter. Now, shalosh shuros, there are three rows that would sit in front of the Sanhedrin. Amar Rabbi Shmamina ki naidi kulu naidi. When they would move, everyone would move down. V'lemelu ada idnavi yasivna bereisha hash musvisuli bedanvi. Why can't the guy who had to move from the top position in the second row to the last position in the first row, why can't he complain? You know, up until now, I was at the very top. Now I'm at the bottom. So Amar Rabbi, damri lehachi avizan of l'arayas. Rosh L'Shualim. Yeah, that's an upgrade. It's better to be a son of L'Arayos than to be a Rosh L'Shualim. Ketzer Ma'imenes Ha'edim. Says the Mishnah, how would we frighten the Edim? How would we intimidate the Edim? What kind of speech would we give? So Al-Edin Nefashos, Ha'imachnis Nosanu Ma'imen Alehen. When it comes to Edin Nefashos, we'd bring them into a room and we'd frighten them as follows. Shema Tomru Me'umad. Maybe you're saying this based on, your own filling in the blanks of the story. You didn't see everything, but you're allowing your imagination to fill in the blanks of what you didn't see. umishmua eid mipied, or maybe it's hearsay. Someone told you that somebody said umpiyadim neaman, or someone that you believe. Shema iyatem yodim shosofem livdok eschem adrusha b'chakira. Maybe you just had no idea what you're up against and the kinds of questions we're going to be asking you. Have a yodim shaloki dinim amnus dinim nefashos. Please realize, they tell the edim, dinim nefashos is an entirely different process than dinim amnus. Dinim amnus adam nosein mamon umischaper lo. When it comes to dinim amnus, even if you do something terrible and you lie, you can pay it back. You give back the money, and that will be your kapara. Dinim nefashos. If you make an error, then that's going to affect dore doros. It says by when Cain killed Hevel, it says that bloods in the plural. Why bloods in the plural? Damo v'dam zarosav. That it's not only his blood; it's his children's blood. Others say that no, the reason it says bloods in the plural is because there was blood everywhere. There was blood all over the Yetzim and Avanim. The Gemara is going to describe. He had no idea where how to kill a person. So he tried stabbing him everywhere. He tried this finger. That didn't work. That finger. He tried everywhere till he hit the heart or the throat, and he was able to finally kill him. So it was a very gory, bloody scene. And man is created alone. If a person is ma'aved a single nefesh mi'Yisrael, it's as if he has destroyed a full world. And if a person gives life to a person, maintains life of another individual, it's as if he has kept an entire world alive. And the other reason that man was created alone was for shalom amongst people. That my ancestors are greater than your ancestors. They're all the same. We all come from the same people. Another reason why man was created alone is you don't want the minim to say that there are many reshuyos in Shemayim and each one created their own man. No, there's one God, and therefore he created one man to start the world. It also, another reason man was created yichidi, was to highlight the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we mint coins, we have a form, and we make all the coins that every quarter looks exactly. Well, quarter is a bad example, but every coin that we make with that same matbeya looks exactly the same. God makes everyone with the chosum of Adam Rishon, and no two people are alike. And therefore, everyone is obligated to say that I am chashuv like the whole world, and therefore I have the ability through one avera to cause trouble for the whole world. Maybe we'll do such a good job of scaring them that they're going to say, hey, we're not interested anymore in being made at all. That's why the pasuk says, no, if you know something, you have to say something. And unless you say, well, why do we want to be responsible for this guy dying? That's a good thing. If a person is guilty, then the fact that he's dying is a positive thing, and it's what has to happen. So that's something that's worth rejoicing. Now, all these reasons that are given for why Adam is Nivra Yechidi, not all of them have to do with the fact that the guy is about to testify in Beis Din. So the Rishonim have a machlokas over here. How much of this speech did they actually give? Meaning, maybe they gave the basic speech, Adam Nivra Yechidi, because a person is an entire world, and then all the other stuff about that. Minim shouldn't be able to say Harbin Rishuyos, and that no one should say my father's greater than your father. Maybe all that stuff was just Derech Agav. The Mishnah mentioned, by the way, there are other answers, but that wasn't actually part of the speech. So Rashi and the Yad Ramah understand that they didn't give all these reasons. The Gemara is just giving, the Mishnah rather is just giving other reasons. The Rambam says they didn't give all the reasons. They told them the first reason that and Laharus Klulos Shalak Rosh Baruch Hu, the last reason, to show that Rosh Baruch Hu was able to make from a single matbeya, different people, and no one is doma l'chavero. And that they'll see the chashivus of every individual, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to individualize people. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made each person different than somebody else, it means that it wasn't just an assembly line. You know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought about each person individually, and therefore that would give them an appreciation of the individual that they're testifying against. So those are the two. The middle ones, all the other explanations, that they did not say. Whereas the Meiri understands explains on. They said all of them. They gave all these explanations. And the reason is that what? Sanhedrin is going to tell them, you know why man was created alone? To tell you that a person is an olam malay. So Yiddish cup, what's he going to think? I could think of five other pshatim why man was created alone. Come on, that's not the reason man was created alone. So I'm not scared. So Bezim would say, and I know that there are a bunch of other pshatim why man was created alone, but this is also a pshat in why man was created. Mikra echad yatsiv l'kama taimim. You could have one pasuk that tells you many things. So this is also a mess. So they want to let him know that as well. There's a fascinating tshuva of the Nodeb Yehuda, how literally we take that bottom line on Amud Aleph, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, or the second to last line, that ein echad mehen doma l'chaveiro, that no two people are exactly alike. Nodeb Yehuda had the wildest shailas because he was the God of Adar, so they would send him from everywhere. So they had a shaila where there was a guy who a woman who said, that's my husband, and he disappeared on me, but now he's back, and I see that's my husband. And all the people in this town, let's say in New York, say, yeah, we know that guy, that's Reuven, that's this woman's husband. And the guy says, no, I'm not, I never met this woman before in my life. And they say, no, you have to write a get, and it's terrible, how can you do this? So ultimately he relents and he writes a get, and then the man goes off to Philadelphia, and in Philadelphia they say, there's another woman, and she says, that's my husband. And everyone says, yeah, that's a Yelid Philadelphia, we know him from Midori Doros, we know him from when he was a little kid, that's absolutely him, we recognize him. And he says, yeah, Taka, yeah, I'm from Philadelphia, and that is my wife. And he writes a get to the one he admits as his wife. Now, it can't possibly be that he's the same guy. So what do you do with the, do you believe him? Meaning, once you have Shnei Edim that are saying that he's the guy from New York, and two Edim that are saying, so the Navi says it depends whether we understand, how we understand this Mishnah. If you understand the Mishnah, that it's mamish, that it can never happen, that two people look exactly alike, then you have Edis HaChasha. Then the fact that there's two Edim against two Edim, none of the Edim are trustworthy, you have Edis HaChasha. If it's al pi rov, if you understand the Mishnah, no, it's not that it can't be. It's that it generally doesn't happen. Usually, you know, so then you don't have Edis HaChasha. Then the Edim are all telling the truth. And if that's the case, then you would still trust him. When you have Edis HaChasha, you don't know who to believe, and his word means nothing. But when the Edim are all telling the truth, and it just happens to be, this is the one case where a guy looks exactly like somebody else. But, says the Nodeb Yehuda, that's only if the guy, you can only trust the guy if he's not a Rasha. But he gave two gittin to two different women, and he's not two men, he's only one. So he can't be both, he's already a Rasha. So he lost all credibility by already giving the gittin to two different women. So that's what Nodeb Yehuda thinks of this Mishnah when he was faced with that Shaila. Okay, says the Gemara Vayta, Tan Rabbanu, Ketzad Me'omed. What does it mean to testify based on their own guesswork and their own estimations? So Amalan, meaning, what does it mean, circumstantial evidence? Samalan Shema Kakri Isem. What we'll tell the Edom is maybe what you saw when you thought you saw a murder is you saw the following scene. Sharat Akhar Khavera Lukhurva, that someone ran after his friend to Lukhurva, Virat Demachrav, and you chased after him to see what was going to happen. Umatsasim, by the time you got there, you found the two people, Sayaf Biyada, one guy with a knife in his hand, Vidama Mataftev, and blood was dripping from the knife, Vaharug Mefarper, and there was a freshly murdered body on the floor quivering. Im kach re'isem lo re'isem klum. If that's all you saw, you didn't see anything. You didn't see an act of murder. You saw the aftermath of something, but you have no idea what actually happened. Tanya amrim shem ben shetach erev ben chamim lo re'isi echad sheratzach chaver luchor bevratzi achrav re'isi saif biyadav v'damim mitaftei v'harag mifarper. He says, it's not a theoretical. This happened to me once. I saw this exact scene. And what happened? V'amarti lo, I said to the guy, Rasha! Mi aragol zeh? Oh, ani, oh, who killed this guy? It can't be both of us. You know, he was stabbed in the back. You know, who killed? It can't be anybody else. It was either me or you, and I know it wasn't me. Aval ma'asav, what am I supposed to do? Shein damcha masur biyadi, because your blood is not given over in my hands. Meaning, I can't do anything to you. Shayar mitar al pishnayim edim yumas hameis. This week's parsha, another daf yomi coincidence. Torah says al pishnayim edim yumas hameis. So there are no shnayim edim. Rishonim discuss what the problem was. Meaning, the context of this gemara was not that there was no shnayim edim. Context context was that there were zero Edim, not that there weren't two Edim. So some of the Rishonim say that he wasn't alone, that Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach was together with somebody else. And he was saying, yeah, but there was still no Edim. Even though there are two Edim here, we didn't see the actual Maisa, and that fits the context of the Gemara. Others say that he was saying two things. He was saying, first of all, I didn't see the murder. Second of all, even if I did, I'm only one aid. So I can't do anything. Hayodea machshavos yiparamei oso ishbar kodesh baruch hu. Whose Yodea Machshavos is going to pay the person back. Shaharagas Chavero, because he committed murder. Amru lo zazam isham atshabon nachash v'yikisho meis. And sure enough, right there on the spot, a snake comes out of nowhere, bites the guy, and the guy dies. V'hai bar nachashu, asks the Gemara, I'm not impressed. That guy shouldn't have died from a snake bite. He should have died in a different way. Because v'amar av Yosef, v'chein tanu d'beichiskia, miyom shechar av beis amigdash, av b'li shabbat sanhedri, arba misos labatlu, even though we no longer of Sanhedrin, we still do have Dalim Misos. Says Mar, lo batlu, we have Dalim Misos, va batlu, absolutely they're batlu. We no longer have Dalim Misos. Now, Eladin Arba Misos lo batlu. No, what we mean to say is there's no longer, the din of Arba Misos still applies. For example, Mishen is Chayiv Skila. If someone's Chayiv Skila, granted there's no Sanhedrin to give him Skila, but O Nofel Menagag O Chayiv Darasta. He'll die in a way that mimics Skila. He'll fall from a roof, a beast will tear him apart. Mishen is Chayiv Srefa, O Nofel B'dleika, O Nachash Machisha. Someone is Chayiv Srefa, he'll either fall into a fire or a snake will bite him. So you see, that's for Srefa, Nechishas Nachash. Mishen is Chayiv Hariga, which is if for a murderer, O Nimsa L'Malchus, O Listen Bayan Alav. The way he should die is by being given over to the Malchus or being attacked by bandits. Mishen is Chayiv Chanek, if someone is Chayiv Chanek, O Tovei Abinar, O Meis Bisarunchi. He should die in a way that chokes him by drowning or something like that. So bottom line is, why was this guy killed by the bite of a snake if after all that's not the din dalid misos that he really deserved? He must have also done another avera. If someone is chayv two separate misos bezdin, so then he's nidon b'chamura, then he gets the worst of the two misos bezdin. There's a tshuva in the Chasam Sofer in Yerideh Simin Shin Lamed Gimel. Pisrei Tshuva quotes in Yerideh Simin Shin Samach Beis that there was a shaila. People of a Chevre Kadisha had a case of a person that was killed by Ovdei Kochavim. He was a murder victim of Ovdei Kochavim, and they wanted to know, should they bury him b'kvuras avosav? Or maybe no, maybe he should be in a kever b'fnei atzmo, separate from his family plot, because din arba misos lo batlu, if the person was killed by bandits, so he must have been chayiv hereg if he was killed by bandits. That's what the Gemara says is going to happen. So Chasam Sofer says, he says he hasn't found anywhere in Poskim Rishonim Acharonim that it says anything like that, that someone who's murdered by Goyim, that you would bury him somewhere else. He says, if they would have stam been knowing this way, and you know, sometimes Chevre Kadisha has their minhagim and you can't start up with them, and you would have told me that this is the minig of Chevre Kadisha, midori doros, so good, Chasam Sofer said, I wouldn't be able to say anything. But you tell me that you just don't know what to do, so I'm telling you, says Chasam Sofer, you cannot keep him away from Kivrei Avos. He says, you have to look carefully at the Gemara. The Gemara says that someone who's Chayiv Hereg, this will happen to him. It doesn't say anyone who this happens to him is necessarily Chayiv Hereg. You can't necessarily go in the other direction. So Chasam Sofer says that he's not comfortable saying to keep the person away from Kivrei Avosav. There's also a major discussion in Poskim, the Shvos Yaakov has a tshuva, whether it's a maila for a person who knows that he did some of these averos to be Mekayim in himself, the Dalin Misos, in order to achieve a kapara, because it sounds like that's how he gets his kapara. So is that a violation of Ma'avir Atzmo L'das, of suicide, if a person does this? And there are rayas in both directions. One of the rayas is Rabbi Chiya Barashi in Kiddushin Daf Pei Aleph, that he thought he did an avera, that he slept with a Zona, and he came into his house and he walked right into the oven. So apparently that was his way of doing tshuva, to bring himself to Misa. It happened to be that nothing happened to him in the end. He just had a conversation with his wife that revealed something. But the point is, though, that maybe you see, and there are many rises in the other direction as well. It certainly doesn't seem to be the minhag to do like that. So then we said that hearsay, I'm sorry, to circumstantial evidence is not good enough. Says Mar B'dinin Fashel, fashas udlam dinan. Oh, maybe that it's only dinan fashas that circumstantial evidence is not good enough. Habadinan mamnas am dinan, but by dinan mamnas maybe it is good enough. Keman karavacha, and that assumes like ravacha. Detani ravacha omer gomala ucher bin agamal. If you have a camel that's either mating or is biting, it's acting in a wild way. Venimsa gomal harag betsido, and you find a dead camel nearby. Biyodurash is a harago. You know the one that's been acting wild is the one that killed it. So you see that's circumstantial evidence, and that's good enough for dinim amnus. Says Gemara l'taymech. If you can say like that, ein mipa de ketani b'dinim fashos hu delo amrinan ha b'dinim amnus amrinan. Would you say the same thing about hearsay? That hearsay is good enough for dinim amnus because it says over here by dinim fashos that hearsay is not good enough. So you can make the same diuk that it is good enough for dinim amnus. Vatnan imamar hu amr li shani chayev lo ish ploni amr li shu chayev lo lo amar klum at shiomer b'faneinu hodelo shu chayev lo masayim zuz. So we have an explicit Mishnah that it's not true that hearsay is not good enough for dinim amnus. It's not good enough that someone told me that he said. So alma aflagav de psili b'dinim amnus amrin luhu b'dinim fashos. No, even though it's not even good enough for dinim amnus, we're still going to highlight that it's not good enough for dinim fashos when we're trying to scare the edim. So over here also, when it comes to circumstantial evidence, hachanami aflagav de psili b'dinim amnus amrin luhu b'dinim fashos. Even though in hachanami we fully recognize that it doesn't, that circumstantial evidence is not good enough for dinim amnus either, but nevertheless, it's dafka in the case of dinim fashos where we're going to emphasize that, and we're going to try to dafka make that point to the edim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the two dots.